You gone done it again. Gone done it again. Running around this town, the lights go down. Gone done it again. Well, I'm tired of you telling me all of your lies. Well, no, I ain't the only other guy. Introduce you to all my family. Didn't take you long to prove me wrong and strangle me. 'Cause you gone done it again. Gone done it again.
That is Danny Romero playing a tune there at the patio of Far From Folsom, the Folsom Yard. Far From Folsom is located on Prescott's Whiskey Row at 214 South Montezuma Street. We're out here quite a bit. Check them out at folsomyard.com, where you can find links to their menu and, most importantly, the calendar, where you can see who's performing here, like Danny Romero, and also many other guests of our show, past and I'm sure future. Danny runs a every other Wednesday singer-songwriter night, not quite an open mic. It's a showcase for local singer-songwriters to come up and do some original material. He is on stage now to kick it off on a beautiful, beautiful evening out here at Folsom Yard. We're going to sit down and talk with Danny and a few other folks. Excuse me, choking on a nacho. We're going to sit out here and talk with Danny and a couple of the other performers out here maybe and learn a little bit about the music scene out here and how it changes from season to season. And as spring is turning into summer, we're gonna have some great music out here in Prescott, in and around the square. Les Lyman's out here as well. He'll be kicking back with us for a little bit. And whoever else we can corral onto the mic. Today's show is brought to you by Amazon. Amazon is your destination for online shopping, and we would hope you can get rid of that Amazon link that you got on your toolbar now and replace it with milehighshow.com. There's a Amazon link right there at the bottom. Use that for all your online shopping, and it takes you right to your Amazon or Amazon Prime login like normal, but it lets them know you got there through us. So bookmark that milehighshow.com link and use it as your Amazon portal, and they give us a little kickback at the end of the month. So shop away and support the show. There's also an Audible link right there next to the Amazon link, and you can get a free audio download and a free 30-day subscription by using the code MILEHIGH at checkout. And they got close to 200,000 audio titles on there. Music, novels, historical books, biographies, lectures, magazine articles, anything dealing with audio you can get right there. And you can get it for free by using the code MILEHIGH at checkout. And a free 30-day subscription. So if you find you don't like it, you're not getting your free money's worth out of it, you can cancel the subscription, but still keep that free audio download. So check it out. Stick around. We're going to hear some music. We're going to hear from some of the musicians. And we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Mile High Show, number 138, from the patio at Far From Folsom, the Folsom Yard.
Well, I know you think you done made me blue.
That one's me.
Actually, that was you, Matt.
That was beautiful. I'm going to slide over. So I don't
don't touch my leg. He's touching my leg, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not his leg.
Oh. It just, never, I'm not even going to take that any further. You know. I thought, you know, you keep telling me it's supposed to be a family program, and then.
Yeah, I met my family.
Yes, I have. Well, no, not your family. That's right. Yeah. Met the woman that saved you from your family.
Yeah, that's a bitch. You ain't lying either. So what up? What you been doing?
Well, I just finished providing music for live music for the seating part of American Buffalo.
For the what part?
The seating.
Oh,
seating.
So you were doing like the what do they call it? What's that called?
Like I have
the
no idea.
Overture?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I remember that from the opening of The King and I.
So it was myself and Paul Epic, who I'd been in a band with, and Walt, who I cannot remember his last name, but he is frequently Joe Berger's accompanist.
Gotcha.
Accompanist.
He plays with Joe.
Yeah. Well, no, that even sounds worse. Yeah. No, but I forget what he calls it, but it's basically an electric saxophone, you know, kind of thing. A breath-operated, you know, wind instrument. Electric.
Aren't they all?
I guess.
Breath-operated?
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, generally speaking.
Hey, Hoppy, if you're not going to talk on mic, you're not allowed to listen or laugh, okay?
Kara, don't talk to the mayor of Whiskey Road. Mayor of Whiskey Road, that's right.
How long have you lived in this area? You don't have to get on the mic. You 20 can.
Years.
20 years, Hoppy?
Yeah. Hello.
You say 20 years.
My name is Hopperita.
I have seen Hoppy up and down the row at every watering hole and venue here, always carrying his instrument. And I've been out here for years, more than a dozen, I've only seen you play twice.
No, he plays it all. He plays it all the time.
That's boring. I've seen me play.
That's because I usually go home earlier than midnight, I think.
No, he plays Mandy Lynn all the time. Yeah.
Well, let's do a little review here. Hoppy, you're going to get on mic for a little bit.
Okay.
Just hold it over for him, Les. Now, you're going to, Hoppy, you're gonna give us a review of that Margarita Rocks. How was the Margarita Rocks at Far From Folsom?
It was fair to middling. Actually, pretty good because he say mix it just like he'd want to drink it. And I said, that's copacetic.
And I'm going to guess over the years you've had your share of sampling of fine tequila and not so fine tequila.
I reckon. So that's why I'm like I am now.
I will take your word on whether or not it is a good drink or not. So you're going to get up tonight and play?
I doubt it.
You're just cruising?
You never know.
Maybe?
It depends on the crowd and situations.
Yeah.
And how many margaritas you've had?
And I need another right now.
All right, thank you. We'll get you. I'll get you one.
You have to talk to the bartender. Yeah. Bartender wrist. Bartender. He says he can get his own. No, but I just finished that run. That was a lot of fun. They used music that I had recorded on my first two CDs for the soundtrack of that show.
Nice.
And then we did the overture, and it was a lot of fun. I hadn't played music with Paul in a long time, so, and the people seemed to like it. So it was a
good deal,
a new thing.
It looks like is that something you want to experience and maybe try a little more of? Because
they run.
I don't. Is there even a season over there? Because it seems like all year long they've just rotate shows in and out.
Well,
and
yeah. There's different times of the year they do stuff. They're getting ready to do summer stock, right? Getting ready to do summer stock, so
it's a real vibrant theater scene,
though.
They kind of run it a lot. Is that something you might get an in on and just start doing as a regular basis?
I really would like to compose music for, you know, a score.
Yeah,
you know? And that's actually what I thought that he asked me to do at first, and he's like, "No, I want to use this music," and I was like, "Okay."
He'd already earmarked some of your library.
Yeah. Well, and we talked about it.
Yeah,
and we talked about it, and he told me about his vision. I was like, "Yeah, it's cool." That's like cause
nice.
it fit, and we did it in the stage two, which is the teeny tiny little black box theater they have next to Two Mamas
brick.
And the bookstore on Cortez. You know, but the entrance is around the back by the dumpster, which is perfect for me because that's my basic environment.
Felt right at home. Yeah. Oscar the Grouch popping out of the Rubbermaid garbage can.
No.
I like it.
No,
I like it. I think we need to change your moniker. You are no longer the not a serial killer. You're the new Muppet, man.
No, I'm not
Oscar
a Muppet.
Oscar the Grouch.
No, I'm not a Muppet.
Leslie the Grouch, man.
I don't know. I don't know. The serial killer thing was just starting to catch on.
I will not let that go. So, all right. I before we plugged in here, you were wrapping up a conversation with a fella down at the bar. What were you talking about? The tools? What was it called?
It's just a Pulaski. Pulaski. And basically, what that is, there was a guy named Ed Pulaski that developed this combination rake and axe. And it's a tool that the smoke jumper, the guys that fight, forest fires.
So were you talking about the Hot Shot Crews, or was this still tied into the serial killer conversation?
Well, actually, it's funny how those two things come together. It's amazing what a forest fire will cover up.
I'm just saying. You get rid of some good evidence that way, man.
And we were talking about a book that we had we're talking about the fire season. I didn't realize that he was actually a forest fire.
Oh,
he was a firefighter, and he was going to Oregon to do some contracting work over the summer. And we had talked about the unpleasantness in California, and. We also talked about how the fire season this year has popped off with a bang.
Is it earlier than usual, or am I just getting older and everything flies by more?
I think that this year is especially egregious because, we had kind of a wet late winter, early spring, and so what you have is a lot of new growth, grass and stuff like that, and then no rain. And then it dries out.
It grew fast and then dried fast.
Yeah. I know you follow these because you turned me on to the various, various scanner websites. There's been little fires.
Yep.
All over the
place.
What
was that one you were posting about the other day? They were doing some.
That was the Joe Hill fire.
Where was that?
That was in Black Canyon.
Black Canyon. Yeah. They did some evacuations there.
Well, they kind of had it under control, and then overnight it jumped containment and burned. Like that, people are under mandatory. It was not good. It was a badness. Yeah.
Well, I did my part to create defensible space at my house. Saturday afternoon, I was out there hacking and mowing and I found a nice little 20x30 patch of grass under those weeds.
Well, what do you know?
That I'm watering now. So
cool.
We got a little ground cover, but I cleared out all the brush. Close to the house and then the border of the fence line, so I still got that midline.
You put the pool in yet?
Well, no, we have one. It's one.
So
of
you heard
Walmart
it here, ladies and gentlemen. He's got a pool at his house.
It is. My son calls it a pool. For me, it's more just somewhere to soak my feet. It's one of those. I don't know. It's about 6 feet across. One of those little kiddie ones. But we fill it up and just sit in it when it's really hot. I soak my feet in it.
I like that.
It's nice. And we got it. Like I said, we're out in the middle of nowhere, so it's relaxing and quiet. And I got a well, so I don't have to worry about filling it up too bad. So what are you doing to get ready for the season? It's kind of one of your ongoing jobs is wood cutting and clearing out brush and stuff at the house.
Well,
what have you been up to?
Actually, as far as for this season, it's garden, the garden's in.
Nice.
Garden's in. We got the jalapenos and the tomatoes and the scarlet runner beans are up, and we're going to have
what's he doing to that lime? Hoppy's murdering a lime.
That's what he's doing with it. It has to die. we're gardening and the wood is ongoing. There's fence that's ongoing, There's a lot of work on on a third of an acre, amazingly enough.
Well, we're on a full acre, and our neighbor right next to us, he just bought a tractor, one of those little, it's not even that little, but it's a pretty good size, and he's just raking out his yard, getting rid of some brush and some rock and everything. Well, he popped over because we got a little hill going up to our driveway. Our driveway's a hill. And it splits our two houses, so we both use it. And there were some big, big divots in there and some big trenches. Yeah. So, our van had trouble going through it. So we just got to – you got to do it just right and go nice and slow. Well, he went and raked it all through and leveled it. So I kicked him down some gas money. And he goes, this is way too much. Well, you need anything done at your house? So he came over and did probably a little less than a quarter of our yard that's already fenced off.
Yeah.
that the previous owner wanted to do as a little goat pen.
Right.
But it was just rocks and brush, so he scraped all out. That's going to be our garden.
Okay, cool.
But this was only like last week, so we're late in getting it started. But we're going to get some corn, and so we're going to basically prep it for next year. But in the process of prepping it, we're going to grow some stuff just to get it going.
Well, you don't really have to have like, you know, like the, like a, you know, a traditional garden. What works better out here is raised bed, because like you really kind of need. God, listen to me, man. It was like I'm like Joe Gardner here. You really kind of need about 8 to 8 inches to a foot of like dirt.
Yeah.
You know, that of garden dirt. You
yeah,
know?
We've got a pretty good thing, and then we're going to truck in some. There's a company out there. But I got a where it's horse manure.
If you do,
and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Dirt.
But if you do. If you do like a square yard, like three by three, like these boxes, you can grow more food. Like and you don't. It's easier to get at. You don't have to like. I found it to be superior rather than like the old way I did it back east.
Yeah. Sandra wants this section done, and it's going to be a combo of like a little garden in one corner, and then a bench, and then a little walkway, and then a little more garden, and then some corn and some tomato. So it's not a straight garden. She's going to have it's going to be her little area to get away from me.
Oh,
I have the garage. I have the garage / photo studio. She's going to have the garden and the rest of the house.
Yeah, kind of, she'll be wanting a gazebo.
Yeah, no, you know what? This you know what's cool is it because we bought some blackberry bushes at Home Depot, and they're sprouting. They're going good. They're still in the pots. We haven't even put them in the ground yet. But the guy with the tractor just moved in about 6 months ago, maybe even less than that. And the previous owner at his place had a dog pen that was like a 12 by 12, 6 foot, no, more than that, probably like an 8 foot cyclone enclosure, and it's just a big square with a gate.
Yeah,
he didn't want it. He was gonna chuck it, so he brought it over to. I asked him for it. He brought it over to our house. Yeah. So in one of the corners of the garden area, we're gonna put that in there, and then we're gonna run the viney stuff and have it.
Yeah.
You know, years down the road.
I will get you some, like, I'll get you some Scarlet Runner beans. She'll love them. Scarlet Runner beans are like, they make nice, kind of, nice, great big kind of kidney beans, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of beans. But what they really do is they make vines, and the vines have little red flowers on them. And by the end of the season, what you have is like, this huge, I mean, like, I have a 10-foot, I think it's probably a 10 foot tall by 30 foot long trellis.
Yeah.
And by the end of the season, I have this wall of green and little red flowers.
Oh, cool.
And the hummingbirds come.
And that's kind of what we want. Since this is an enclosure with the gate in it, we'll use it to kind of be the corner fence.
And then.
And like a little gazebo.
And then because they're wondrous little balls of starch, you pick them, you dry them, and dude, frijoles for days, man. I mean, they're just or beans or whatever. They're just really good.
Oh, nice,
super good,
nice.
Wes Williams in the house.
Hey, Wes, what's going on, buddy?
Are we live and on the air?
Yeah, we are. Jump on.
Man. Good evening, folks. Wes Williams here, just here to.
you just here hanging out?
Yeah, get something.
Yeah? Yeah, you're not gonna go out.
Well, that was just
hey, no, that's good. We just got a whole nother conversation.
Yeah,
you go way over there, and then don't download this one.
Well, to be honest, man, to be honest, like, you know, if you're not, Wes works, man. You know, so he wants a day off. It's nothing, you know, nothing personal, you know. Nothing personal. I mean, I know exactly how he feels.
Wait. You keep talking.
He wants me to keep talking,
I
ladies and
gentlemen.
He's got to pull something up. Oh, I don't think you should be pulling that up, Matt. Oh, no.
No. Okay. This is a nice commercial for Wes. Yeah. I was out here yesterday and last week. We were doing a photo shoot here at Folsom Yard, far from Folsom, for Wes's new merch. It's his T-shirt collection.
Wes's, not Les's. Wes's.
What did I say? I don't know what it is. Wes Williams Band. Email wwbmerch@gmail.com and find out how you can get yourself one of those Wes Williams T-shirts. And then check out our Instagram feed at The Mile High Show for some pictures of Wes and some of our waitresses here at Far From Folsom. But they're modeling those off, and he's selling them, trying to be able to be self-sustained on the music front. And that's an oddity in this area for
yes.
somebody to be able to use their art to pay the bills and sustain themselves.
Well, I think it's an oddity most places.
Yeah.
But, you know, most places, particularly there's a tip over point, you know. There's a tip over point, but Wes has actually managed to tour. He plays a lot locally. He's like, I was really pleased that, like, you know, he's managed to, like, do a show for himself at the Elks and sell tickets and prove that it could be done, you know, which really, you know, is something that has to happen. You have to, like, show people that it can be done. I don't think that was Wes's whole idea. I think he just wanted to make some money, but still.
Yeah. Well, when I say it's an oddity for here is because in a lot of areas where there's a music scene, it's, you know, you go to a bigger metro area, whether that be Phoenix or San Francisco Bay Area, whatever, and there is music venues where bands come in, touring bands come in and play.
Yeah.
But the local musicians, it's at least on the bar scene, it's kind of like a hobby. It's a side gig for them somewhere so they can flex their artistic muscles. But they usually got a straight job at the same time.
Well, I think Wes may have a straight job.
No, he's...
Really?
He
works for Ted. It counts.
It's still in the music side, though. It's like, because he was working at a local treatment facility.
Yeah.
And that's not... He's done with that.
Well, yeah, but he's...
But there's so many musicians in this area and in the Verde... Yeah. That are playing regularly, but they're still doing their regular jobs, and there's a small handful that are able to do this full time, and it's neat to see.
I will absolutely go along with that. It's good. I like it. It makes for a better scene.
Yeah.
When you have guys that are showing that you can do it, you know.
Yeah.
And I think really the big thing is really. The money is small, you know. Like, I mean, like our good friend Sky Conwell, dude, you know, he's doing this for a living.
Yeah,
you know, he's doing music for a living. But Sky, you know, Sky like would work 8 days a week if he could, because you know the pay scale's you know really low.
And
you know?
And unlike a San Francisco Bay Area or an LA or a New York, you don't have to make that huge nut every month to survive.
Yeah.
So that's a helpful thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places. You know, it's funny. I was just talking to somebody about that today. That's they're two people, as a matter of fact. They're both considering leaving. One guy is in the Bay Area, and he can't afford to live there anymore. You know, I mean, he's actually been making more money, but he can't afford, he can't afford to live there.
Yeah.
You know, he's living in someone's closet, literally, and... there's a friend of mine who is in Brooklyn, which like has, you know, it's done the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 10 years ago, I guess, when he first went up there, I mean, there was a lot of empty spaces or places you could get into. You know, they were in the process of making it what it is now. And now what's happening is, you know, and this, you know, I'm concerned about it happening here is that as it gentrifies, what happens is you lose that creative yeast. You lose, you know, the people that, you know, are doing this thing because, you know, because it's like because they're willing. I mean, it's one thing to be willing to starve. It's another thing to have to hot park your car and live in it. You know, like move it from side to side of the street so you don't get in trouble.
Yeah,
you know, or like hide your van or whatever. I mean, I think that. That big fire in Oakland last year, or was that last year or this year?
It's
been a while. It's been a while. But like that big fire and what happened there is actually like a symptom of that, because people, those people, gosh, when we were kids, those people all had been in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
you know, they've been probably been living in the Mission District or something. Yeah. You know, you know, whatever. But now they're getting shoved into these places that are like maybe not optimal, you know,
yeah.
So they can stay where they're at. And, you know, I mean, gosh, man, like San Francisco, Brooklyn, Portland is like,
yeah.
And Portland, like, it, like, has gotten to the point where like none of those people can live there anymore.
Yeah.
And you're kind of wondering, like, you know, if they're all going to move to Montana.
Hey, tell me a little bit about what you got going tomorrow night.
Actually, I am going to go down. I'm going down to Phoenix. My wife has a doctor's appointment, like people my wife's and I age tend to do, you know, because we're, you know. But I've been meaning to go down there for a long time to go to the Steel Horse Saloon for their Tool Shed Blues Jam that my friend Daryl Porras is part of running. And I'm really looking forward to that. I hadn't seen Daryl for a while. I went to his anniversary. I had a hoot.
Nice.
You know? Yeah, I had a hoot. Like, you know. And played music there.
What part of town is this place in? What's it called again?
It's on Bell Road. It's a Steel Horse Saloon. It's 1818 Bell Road. I think I'm not sure if it's west or like east or whatever, yeah. But it's like 1818 Bell Road.
I'll pull a link and find it.
But I haven't been there yet. But they've been doing this for a while. Harrison Begay. So
yeah.
Harrison ran one there for a while, and you know, and I like the jams.
Yeah.
I think the jams are important to a
You've
good
been
scene.
Telling me about this one for a while, and
yeah.
We've been trying to get down, but midweek it's tough for me to get down. I'm glad you're able to get down there and do it. I want to get a report on it.
Tell the truth, Matt. You're just glad that I'm farther away from you.
No, well, right now with Sandra's school, she's taking this semester off after pounding it, but between both of our work schedules, taking care of Anthony and then her night classes, the past 9-10 months,
yeah.
My weekdays were shot, and then I got to cram everything into
Dude,
Fridays.
You have been, so. You are doing almost exactly what I was doing,
yeah.
When, like, you know, 25, whatever,
yeah.
You know, longer than that. Yeah, longer than that. Like when we were in Omaha and my wife and I were in Omaha and Boulder, like getting her through college. You know, everything was about
yeah.
that. So I would, you know, I'd like, gosh, man, in Boulder, I bust instead of like I had a straight job because it worked better.
Yeah.
And I made pretty good money. And then Omaha was like kind of the same thing. Everything was about, you know, making sure that we could get the education taken care
yeah.
of, you know. So but you're doing it as an old man. so ladies
oh,
and gentlemen
boy.
So ladies and gentlemen, you know, please send Matt all your love and all your money.
No, and what you could do to show
Mile High.
To show support is go to milehighshow.com and use that Amazon link to do your online shopping.
That's right.
Also on the support the show page, there is a PayPal button if you just want to kick in a buck or two so we can keep buying hoppy margaritas.
because somebody has to do that. You know, somebody has to do that. You know, somebody, you know, like Matt has to pay for cheeseburgers for me too. I'm just saying, you know. You know.
All right, well, we're going to cut a little break here and hopefully sit down with Danny if he ever gets off stage for a finally his fiddle partner showed up. So they're up there playing, but as other musicians pop in,
you know,
he's going to be coming down, and
you know,
maybe we'll talk
to get
with him
to sit down is actually like a trick. He's one of the most mobile guys. He's like got to be going somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's usually because he's running late to the place he was supposed to be an hour ago.
Well, see, I'm glad you said that because I didn't want to.
All right. Well, thanks, Les.
I mean, it's all good. I'll see you soon.
All right. So a while ago, back when Sheriff Joe was still around, I hung out in his little old jail down there. In downtown Phoenix. Of course, that's back when the tents were posted up. I think they're gone now, right, Matt? Because you're Mexican just like me. I think that the Tent City should still be there regardless. Anyway, I was there for a little while, and I wrote this song about my little old experience. One, two, three, four. It started out on an Arizona highway. Law was behind me, going my way. And before I knew it, they hear me walking along. Yeah, wouldn't you know it, I stand just fine. April, my eyes with bright light. That damn old officer said, son, ain't working right. I got the 10 city blue, who's nothing to gain.
You look scared, Jordan.
What?
Relax.
It was happening.
Depends on why I'm talking in the
okay,
mic.
The main thing is and this is all, you and Les, the only ones I got to remind, we keep it as family-friendly and on language as possible.
Is this a radio show? What are we doing?
Podcast.
Okay. I'm not good at spontaneous talking.
Oh, it's all right. I just want to know a little bit about you. You got to really eat the mic, though. You got to get it right on there.
Yeah. Do you happen to have a pen on you real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me just a second. I got to write down my name real quick.
Okay, here you go.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank let you, me sir. Let me grab you my name real quick.
So you gonna behave yourself, Dan?
I'm gonna try.
Man,
after that last phone call.
Well, you know, you got this nice young fella that you bring up here with you, Jordan, playing his fiddle. Babyface guy sitting here, and then you're just corrupting him like crazy.
Somebody's got to.
Man.
Mexican like me. It was
just guys.
You too. It was
so much,
from a good
so
base.
Much for the family.
We got a good face.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Every time I turn around, somebody wants his number. You know what I mean?
That's
and
a cut.
Not just the women.
Look, dude, I'm trying to whore myself out in a professional aspect too. That's what I like to do.
Hold on, let me grab my phone. I'm gonna let Jason take a picture of this one. Let me grab my phone. Okay, I'll be right back.
We're never gonna get this done.
No, it's not. I don't know, we'll just talk. I haven't really talked to you. Just get that mic up. Make keep it a nice time. First off, how do you pronounce your last name?
Brambilla.
Brambilla.
Yeah.
Okay. From listening to Danny, you born and raised here?
Yeah, born and raised, 19 years.
Yeah? Where'd you go to school?
I went to school at Prescott High School.
Prescott High?
Yeah, and Chino Valley High School.
And Chino, what years? When'd you graduate?
I haven't graduated.
No?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man.
Just on the road playing music. That's what I've been doing
cool.
since. Yeah.
Good.
I went up and left after sophomore year. And at the end of my, about the middle of my junior year, actually, I moved to Dallas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that how long were you in Dallas?
Just about a year.
And then back here?
Yeah, back
here. Why'd you end up back here?
I missed the mountains.
Yeah?
Yeah, I missed home.
Yeah.
But work got a little bit slow. I left one of the bands that I was working with over there, so there was kind of some downtime.
And has that been your main gig? You've been able to support yourself with music? Or?
Yeah, so far. I do a little bit of odd stuff. I used to cowboy a little bit, and I've had a feed store job for a little while, just kind of holding
Bros
everything
like
together.
Jordan, they never got to worry about work.
They say it's more of a habit than a profession, but you try to stay happy.
So how'd you hook up with this pirate, man?
You know, I was
Don't
working
spit on my mic.
I was working for a custom bootmaker here right down the road, PK Bootmaker.
Yeah,
and Danny came in one day and had Paul build him a pair of boots.
Yeah.
And ever since then, we kind of got to talking, and Danny told me about his weekday gig at the Palace every Tuesday, lunchtime. Yeah. And so eventually we'd make our way down to go get lunch down there and see Danny play.
Are you still doing that midweek or just the Fridays at the Palace? Hit and miss?
It's hit and miss, yeah.
Well, a lot of that's got to do with whether or not you're available, because you've been working your tail off, right?
Yeah, lately we've been a little bit busy, but we try to keep that up as much as possible because we love doing it so much.
Now, you were going to sit down in the last break, because we're just kind of doing real informal. I sat with Les Lyman earlier, just talking about the music scene in general, you know, just the conversation we normally do. But just before you took your last break, you got a phone call, and... Because you're running your business at the same time. You're running it. I'm glad that gesture wasn't we're not on video, because I'd have had to bleep out your hand. But you're juggling a lot of stuff. You're doing your gigs. You're rehearsing with Jordan and George for your regular Fridays, and when you do your Arizona Territory gigs. You're doing your solo stuff here as well as at the Palace. You're picking up gigs all over the place. And you're running your business. So you got a lot of balls up in the air.
Really do. But the thing that always relieves me of the pressure of real life is this. So
sitting down with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You and me together at Folsom, eating Twinkies and beer. Yes.
Too many Twinkies.
No, the Palace thing every Friday is a real reprieve for me. And that's something that's a residency of ours, I would say, of Jordan and I, and every now and then Georgie. Yeah, and I look forward to that because everybody in there comes in to hear our music.
Yeah.
And well, not only that, but it's very family oriented.
Well, you fit
it's
the
very
atmosphere
refreshing
there.
Yeah, we do. Jordan was a cowpuncher, so was I. So we have a lot of roots that are similar to. Together, you know, so it works.
It fits.
Now, who else you playing with, Jordan?
You know, right now I play with part-time a gypsy jazz band in Dallas, the Gypsy Playboys.
Yeah.
And I'm actually getting ready to go do a 3-week tour up through New Mexico and Colorado with them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And that's just going to be a duo trip, but I'll be in Dallas for a few days to play a few gigs with them. So
cool. Now, how do folks track you? You got a website or strictly your Facebook?
I'm on Facebook right now and Instagram, Jordan Brambilla.
Now, on the Instagram, you've got a underscore in between first and last.
Underscore in between the
right?
first and last, yep.
The pros like Jordan, you got to keep them busy.
Yeah.
Cats like him are hard to come by, and I've been very, very, I've been so fortunate to play with such incredible guys. I really have, but Jordan and Georgie, even Carlos and Randall,
yeah.
some of these guys that locals here, you know, Prescott really does have some fine talent here. But to keep it together, you got to keep everybody busy.
Now, in other incarnations of Arizona Territory or even your duo projects, your solo stuff, you gig with, and please, Jordan, don't take this the wrong way because I'm getting there. I have a bad way of when I try and compliment somebody, it comes out backwards. But
well,
you
just
play
like
with
your head. But,
yeah. You play, Danny. You play. Most of your bands are traditional. You got your drummers. You got your bass player. You got your guitar. Fiddle thrown in the mix really gives not just your tunes, but
it's
even your covers.
The entire game.
Yeah, it's a whole new dynamic. Everything. Now, have you been playing cowboy music and rockabilly mostly, or jazz? Or
you know,
what's your background?
Mostly Western swing. I've played a little bit of old time fiddle music, but I couldn't play a breakdown to save my life. I try to stick to some of the jazz standards.
Yeah,
playing that kind of stuff. A lot of the Bob Wills tunes, onto the even Johnny Bush, the shuffle music, dance hall stuff.
Typically, not your normal 19-year-old music.
Right.
I mean, what were your classmates listening to when you were in school?
My classmates are listening to Katy Perry and
Ariana Grande.
And I'm listening to Frank Sinatra.
I'm at Chino High a lot. I do a lot of work over there.
Jordan is a prodigy.
It's the whitest hip-hop lovers I've ever
seen.
Jordan's a true prodigy.
I grew up listening to George Jones and watching Lawrence Welk every Saturday night, so it had to be a happy medium somewhere.
And you've got such a beautiful style. And like
Thank
I said,
you.
It you Thank play, you. Danny, you play, and I don't mean this, again, I'm just gonna, but you play kind of traditional with traditional musicians. And then to throw in the fiddle, it's kind of like when, Don Cheek, when Innis sits in, it's a whole new mix. And then, some of these bar bands, when they throw in a horn section or something, it just takes it to the next level.
It's something different,
It's changed the entire outlook of my band, and it's taking it to places. I never played with a fiddle before until we did Acker this year, 2016, where we always do the yogurt shop over there. I don't remember what it's called.
Franny's,
right. We always do that place, and that was the first time Jordan played with us. Jordan has changed the entire dynamic. There is no doubt. And not only, does he just play the fiddle and people are intrigued by the sound and the style, the kid plays it.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. He's a pro. He's an old soul. He's a pro. You know, it's like him and Georgie together. Georgie, probably wouldn't care if I said this. Georgie's 44. Jordan's 18.
He has not aged well. No, I'm just kidding.
And it's almost
me
like
or Georgie. What? Georgie.
It's almost like meeting Georgie when he was his age.
Good.
They're the same people.
Good
they
comparison.
They are prodigies. They are music nerds. They're incredibly talented.
Thank you.
It's.
I think.
When did you first pick
up? I'm a fan. Just sitting back all the time and watching. Yeah.
When did you first pick it up?
In sixth grade, probably about 7-8 years ago, I I've lost track. I was forced.
You're talking about making me feel old, dude.
I know.
He's 99 of his teens.
I was forced. I wanted to play the clarinet, and I wanted to be in band, but the band was full, so they said, okay, we're going to stick you in orchestra. And I thought, you know what? That's all right. I'll play bass. And then they said, oh, well, we got two bassists, so you're going to play violin.
By default.
Yeah, and so I'm stuck with this instrument all year, and I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And after
well,
the
we're
year
glad
was,
you got stuck with it.
It was the genre of music, I think. I got playing with Doug Folker. He owns Mercy Guitar and Fiddle Doctor over here. And he gave me private lessons, and that's when I took off with. That's when
Do you come from a musical family, or
you know, a lot of them couldn't hardly play the radio. But
that's me. That is
all,
me.
You know, my fiddle, my amp, has all come from in the family. It's just they've been cousins. As far as like my parents, I mean, I don't think they have a musical note in their body.
Now, how did your folks take to you saying, you know what? I'm leaving school and I'm hitting the road and going to play some music.
You know, I came to a point where I thought, you know, what am I going to do ultimately with my life? Am I, because this is such a crucial time to make choices right now. And so I thought, you know, am I going to be happy with my life, or am I going to get tied down with a wife and kids early on and with a 9-to-5? And it just wasn't appealing to me. And playing music was almost the only thing that made me happy, and it still really is.
I tell you what, more power to you, because if you put off your passions, before you know it, you're 51 years old with a wife and a kid sitting in a bar patio next to a pirate doing a podcast, and that's no life for anyone. Anyone.
You have a wonderful family.
Oh, no. They're the ones that tell me that. They're
See, I still have to get used to his humor.
What have you done with your life? He's only 7, but the kid's got a big vocabulary, that 7-year-old son of mine.
Well,
what are you doing with your life?
He's a handsome, he's a handsome kid, and he's growing up around you, which is a really good role model.
I tell you,
you're a hard worker. You're intelligent.
My wife, he's
out there working hard.
Well, thank you. He's our only son. He's our only child. My wife. Right. And we were married 15 years, and she got pregnant. It's a complete surprise. And
he's
so
beautiful. He's a beautiful kid.
He spends a lot of time with me because I work a lot of nights. So during the day, he's with me or at school, and then I pick him up from school. And then my wife gets home from work. I go to work, and then she has to undo all of that damage I did during the day.
The corruption that took place.
We have a blast, though.
Well, I tell you, Matt, this trio that Jordan and I and Georgie are working on is a really special thing. And I think sometimes that to play the music that we all want to play, which is nothing that's on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, with the band, it comes down to, you know, can you play top 40 stuff? And I'm saying it nice, my buddy Jason. I'm saying it nicely. You want to play top 40. To play in the bars anymore, you got to play that top 40 stuff.
People want,
right.
Well,
they
want to hear the familiars. They want to hear the top.
They
want to hear their
hits.
They want
to hear what's familiar, right.
Yeah.
Everything that Nashville's been feeding them, whether it's junk or good, whatever. But with the trio that we've been working on, it really lends itself to a lot of freedom, a lot of individuality.
Well,
of originality.
And there's a place for those bands, and it's great to go. I love going out here and, you know, somebody belt that Mustang Sally.
Agreed.
It's great.
What? Jordan, he's kidding, isn't he?
Hey, I don't think so.
No, I like
it. You might be right.
I'm an old man. But, you know, it's fun to go out and hear those tunes being played.
No, it is.
Know, but it really makes then when you see somebody come out and do original tunes or put the original twist even on the old standards.
There's a niche for it.
Oh, and it makes you guys stand out even that much more.
Agreed.
Yeah,
and
it's great.
I'm older than Jordan, obviously, but still we're playing music that is far before either one
before
of
our
times.
Let
right.
alone
it's,
his.
It
yeah.
goes back
the 40s.
Pre-war.
Yeah, the 30s.
Post-war.
Yeah.
And when I say pre-war, I mean World War II. They're, you know.
Oh, I mean, some of the stuff goes back to, I mean, early
1900s.
Yeah.
Right. The swing stuff.
Some of the folk songs.
You know what? And
the
there's
standards.
Really a resurgence in all of
that.
Oh, yeah. And when you're playing with guys like him and like with Jordan and Georgie, guys that really have the talent to play it the way it's supposed to be played, when you're a guy like me who's just a strummer and a wannabe singer, you're a fan.
Yeah.
And for me, we rehearsed, him and me and Georgie, Jordan and Georgie and I, and I was a fan for 2 hours. I sat there and listened. I watched them.
Yeah.
Because it's incredible. They're prodigies. Their talent is through the roof. And when you see people like that together,
yeah.
And then you think, I'm the guy that is not leading this, but I'm the lead of this.
Yeah, yeah, no, I understand.
Wow, I'm not even on their level. But yeah. They take me and they put me on a level that is so far higher yeah. than I ever could. It's
a blast. Incredible, and it's a blast to watch and to listen to and just experience, especially when you go into the palace in the atmosphere and Uncle Bob cruising through, or right. even, you know, beautiful spring night out here on the Folsom Yard. It's just
you cannot beat it.
Yeah.
You don't see it many places.
Exactly.
You come into that palace and you see Jordan and Georgie on the fiddle and that guitar and me with my twangy voice.
What is that?
I mean, it's rare. It's a niche, like he said earlier. And I think we're trying to build on that because it is different.
Yeah.
It'll take us places where we want to go.
What's that amp you're using? Else. What's the amp that you're using
it's
typically?
It's a 1952 Alamo.
And where'd you get that?
It was actually in the family. It was my cousin's. It came with a steel guitar that we had.
Beautiful.
And I can't play the steel guitar worth a dang. So it's been in the closet for the past
according
7 years.
But it just adds that richness, the sound, and the look of
you,
it is
you
great.
Listen to him and George talk about their equipment. I mean,
it's like me and Henshaw getting together talking cameras.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like... You listen to them talk about records and albums and musicians that played on records and albums. You listen to them talk about their equipment, and it's like I get educated every second they speak.
And for those of you listening, albums are the big black CDs, and the CDs are the little silver digital downloads.
Well, hey,
because nobody knows what CDs or albums are anymore.
We're fixing to record an EP.
I was just going to ask, what's in store for the 3-0? I just invented a word, the 3-0.
Tons of evil things.
We always invent words.
Spanglish.
Lunche, I don't know.
What's on the
Lunche.
Horizon?
Anyway, the 3-0.
3-0, I like that.
We're going to go in and record an EP, all acoustic. And I think we're going to release it at the palace.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where we need to be with it.
Cool. All right, plug away. This guy looks like he's getting ready to wrap up.
All
and you got to get up on stage.
So, anyway, thank you, Matt.
What's your website? First website?
Webpage is DannyRomeroMusic.com.
Facebook?
I am Danny Romero. The band is Arizona Territory. My close friend of mine, a young kid here, Jordan Brambilla, who is on Facebook and Instagram and all those things. He's even put up some Snapchat videos of ours. You got to check out.
No, I don't think anybody wants to see those. But.
Oh, Lord. I don't know. They may.
All right.
The humor is there.
They'll sell.
Thanks, guys, for sitting
down.
Thank you
so
much. Appreciate it. And again, when you're every Friday at the Palace.
Friday at the Palace
from 5 to 8.
Right
you'll
there
find Jordan
on the
and I,
heart of Whiskey Row.
It's all happening all the time.
And it's always happened.
Every other Wednesday. Right here at Folsom Yard at
Far
From Folsom.
Every other Wednesday at Far From Folsom, we host the singer-songwriter.
Probably the best bet is to follow you on Instagram and Arizona, on Facebook.
Yeah, the Facebook page.
And Arizona Territory page on there, because that's where you're doing your updates and your
you
event pages
yes.
and all that good stuff.
Yes.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Now go to work.
Appreciate it, bro.
And Jordan, watch your association. Some of these guys you're hanging out with are nothing but trouble.
Like Sir Daniel?
Me. Oh, yeah.
That's been noted. Don't worry. Thank you, Matt.
They set the day and I appeared in court. Well, made it sound like my day in jail was going to be short. I got the 10 city blues, nothing to gain, and so much to lose. Well, 10 city blue line on this military rack. Hurts like hell, Lord, killing my back. 110 degrees under that desert sun. Well, Lord, my time never gonna get done. I'm looking through the chain link at the free world out there. I sit here in my pink underwear.
Tin City Blues, loving the game. So much to love. I self-surrendered, they threw me in a drunk tank. I was thinking up when I got up, cause oh, how it stank. They took me down to the yard in the garden, taking care. I hear some shears go cut that long hair. I found an outlaw, said they cut it up just right. Well, worst damn old haircut I've seen in my life. Tin City Blues, loving the game. So much to love. Tin City Blue line on this military rack. Hurts like hell, Lord, killing my back. 110 degrees under that desert sun. Well, Lord, my time never gonna get done. I'm looking through the chain link at the free world out there. I sit here in my pink underwear. I got the Tin City Blues, loving the game. So much to love.